Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Good morning. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. I'm your Chief Profitability Officer. Your Chief Profitability Officer, you're a profit evangelist, if you will. Thank you for listening in. We will show you how to maximize your profits and your business opportunities. We teach you the best practices of profitability, the principles of profitability, and share with you ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. We want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Get a pad of paper because you might learn something. Well, let me ask a couple questions for the listeners. Why is a military veteran a great asset to corporate America and small business? Here's another question. Is the United States headed for a recession? And what can small business do to protect themselves and continue to prosper? And where are the employment opportunities? Pretty inspiring. Pretty good questions, huh? We're talking with Ted DeWalt of Vet Jobs. It's a premier job board for military veterans. You can check out the website at www.vetjobs.com, which is a survivor, which is pretty important, of the dot-com bust. His company has excelled, placing thousands of military veterans in well-paying jobs and great industries. So why is Ted so successful? Let me give you a little background about Ted. In 1999, Ted has been the CEO and president of VetJobs, a leading military-related internet job board. VetJobs has been ranked as the top recruiting site on the internet by Whittles and actually got an award from Workforce Management. Following his 7 years in the military, very close to my heart, military, Navy, he was an officer and completing his master's, went to Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. DeWalt has entered the private industry in 1980 as a plant manager in the steel industry. He later was a regional manager for a steel company in Cleveland, Ohio, with the responsibility of three plants and trading operations. In 1982, he returned to Atlanta, Georgia, and joined a major electric utility. His career includes experience as a founder of an import company, Southeastern sales general manager for a multinational chemical conglomerate. He's also the general manager for a European-based chemical conglomerate. He's also, I'm not finished, CEO of a biomedical waste firm and also a president of a third-party recruiting firm with national offices since 1994. Ted, how are you doing? Welcome to the program.
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Okay. So let me ask you the question. Why did you start Vet Jobs?
I am involved in a lot of military networks here in Georgia and nationwide, and a retired E-9, a sergeant major, retired, I think it was 2nd Army here in Atlanta, had paid a company $5,000 to help him find a job. Now, there's a bunch of these types of companies out there. $5,000. And he came to me because he'd been out for nearly 2 months and hadn't had the first interview and was wondering how he could get his money back. Well, unfortunately, he got ripped off. And I said, you know, we got to stop this taking advantage of our military. So I hired a consultant. We did a survey of the industry, and I found that there were about 40 or so so-called job boards or sites to help military, but most of them were fronts for multi-level marketing or rip-offs, you know, things are just taking advantage of the military. So I said, we got stopped. There were one or two good sites out there. Corporate Gray was a good one, but it was primarily for the officers. And we wanted a site that for all the military from E-1 to O-10 and all branches of the military. So we put together a business plan, and then I hired, I went around, it's funny, I went around Atlanta talking to some of these program, companies that do programming, and showed them what it was I wanted to do, and they were giving me quotes of $800,000, $1 million, you know, to build a site. And I was going, no way, man. So I did the architecture, laid it out, and hired some programmers, and we did it ourselves. We launched it on November the 11th at 11 a.m., which harkens to Armistice Day, you know, the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month into World War One. And it took off, and it's been a couple of bumps along the road, but it's been quite successful. We're very pleased because we've had thousands and thousands, in excess of over 70,000 veterans and their spouses get a good job to this site.
So what do you contribute to your company's success?
Focus would be one. We've had, you know, one of the problems that many entrepreneurs run into is that as they get going, they see another opportunity, and they start spreading themselves out so thin that they can't get anything done. And we stayed concentrated on our core business. I mean, to give an example, there's a lot of people that wanted us to start doing print, wanted us to do all sorts of programs, wanted us to start running job fairs, which there's plenty of people in the job fair business. I mean, you can really spread yourself out too thin, and there's nothing wrong with going after stuff like that so long as you're extremely well funded. Since this was an entrepreneurial venture and we bootstrapped it, we weren't flush with cash, so we stayed focused on our core business, which was an advertising model where companies paid to advertise their jobs and search the resume database, or sort of like a monster or career builder. In fact, some people call us a monster of the military market. But we stayed focused on that core business and stayed focused on making sure that we had nothing but quality jobs for our veterans. I mean, this morning we had 31,000 jobs up on the site, and it's worked.
You said 31,000 jobs. Is that total or on the site right now?
That's on the site right now.
Oh, my. Wow.
And
that's a lot of jobs.
There's jobs all over the world. I mean, if you want to work in the Middle East, you want to go back to the sandbox, we've got jobs with contractors over there, over in Asia. Of course, bulk of the jobs are here in the United States, and they're with, you know, small companies. You know, an example would be a Rogers Machinery Company up in Oregon, which every time they have an opening, they put their jobs on us, and they like to hire veterans. To large companies like Eli Lilly and Eaton Corporation, BNSF Railway, CSX Railway, and then we also, while all the federal agencies are required to put their jobs on USAJobs.com, the OPM site, Office of Personnel Management, it's not advertised. Nobody really knows about it other than other federal agencies, employees of federal agencies. So a lot of the federal agencies advertise on. So, I mean, today we have up the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Transportation Security Administration, Central Intelligence Agency, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. You know, a lot of federal agencies will advertise on us because they want access to the people with security clearances and people that have military backgrounds.
Wow, okay. So besides that, your key success has been focus. What makes you guys unique to the market? You guys been successful here. What makes you unique?
Well, when you're small and first getting started, which what we were 9 years ago, sometimes you can leapfrog yourself through strategic alliances. And I think this is very important for entrepreneurial ventures, and that you need to do a serious analysis of the market you're in, identify who your real competitors are, and what can you do to put yourself on a par with them. Well, we weren't flush with cash, But an Internet site doesn't necessarily have to be, because most of your cash would be used for marketing and advertising. So we decided that we could really propel ourselves through the advertising side through strategic alliances. And one of them, you know, recognizing that ultimately our competition was CareerBuilder and HotJobs, we wanted to put a gorilla on our side of the fence. And we did that through some strategic alliances. One was with the Veteran of Foreign Wars. I went out and met with the VFW and told them we'd appreciate it if we get an endorsement from them, because they're the most politically powerful of your VSOs. I mean, there's a lot of good, strong VSOs out there, you know, MOA and American Legion, a bunch of others, but the one that has the PAC, that has the political power, is the VFW. So we went out and met with them, and they said, yeah, you and military.com and everybody else been asking for their endorsement, but, you know, they think about it, but don't count on it. So over Christmas of 99, I got a call from a guy saying that he was having trouble putting his resume up, and of course I asked him where he heard about it. He said, oh, I saw you on the VFW site. I went, what? And so I called up VFW, and they said, yeah, we're going to endorse you. Merry Christmas. And when we went out, they not only endorsed, but they bought 10% of the company. That joined us together at the hip. That was more than a strategic alliance. That was a significant partner. And since then, we've picked up alliances and endorsements from people like the Vietnam Veterans of America, which is another one that everybody was chasing. And they're chasing it because of the 10.5 million veterans currently in the workforce, 60% are Vietnam-era veterans. And so having the VVA's endorsement would be very important for driving people to our site. And we've got the Navy Reserve Association, Veteran of Modern Warfare, that's the VSO for all the returning OAF and OIF veterans, and a bunch of others. But, you know, doing strategic alliances like that help drive the candidates to our site. And then we also did a lot with the Department of Labor and with the transition centers. You know, there's 206 DOD transition centers and 13 Coast Guard transition centers, and we made it a point to make sure that they all knew who we were and provide them promo material and cards. We have these neat little business cards that we pass out everywhere that, you know, say, are you a veteran looking for a job? And,
I like those cards. Works. That's what got my attention. That's why I want to contact you. That was pretty insightful for you to look at establishing some strategic partnerships, because that's one way that a client or that a business can improve their conversion rate or success rate, those prospects and suspects getting referrals. And that was a great source for great insight. So let me ask you another question. What do the people that use your site, what do they say about you? What do they like about vetjobs.com?
Well, there's several things. On our site, for those that are looking for a job, we have an employment assistance section that walks people through how to do your job search, how to put together your resume, two very important articles on how to pass the all-important behavioral interview, which what most leading employers use today, because that's the only type of interviewing process that's now defensible in a court of law. And, and a lot of people aren't trained. You know, they don't teach that in schools and what have you. So we provide those tools for them. The candidates like the fact that when you come to our site, you know, some sites, it could take you 7 or 8 pages before you can start to see a job because they're running through all this advertising.
Wow.
On ours, you
okay.
click on search jobs, and, you know, that type of model is a good model, but it also, we've done a lot of focus group studies, and we found that one of the things that's a real turnoff for the job searcher, because they're looking for a job. They don't want
to. They're trying to find a job. Absolutely.
Yeah, they don't want to go through a lot of advertising. You want to go to the school. You want to buy this credit card. You want this cell phone type thing, which you see on some of the large job boards. They want to be able to start looking at jobs. And so you come to our site. You click on search jobs, type in what you're looking for. On your next click, you're looking at jobs. And you're not being inundated with all this advertising. Now, we have advertising subtly there, But it's not all these pop-ups. We picked up real quick from all of our focus groups with candidates that they do not want that. But, you know, we're selling to two markets. You know, one is the veteran, but we also have to sell to the employer to get the employers to want to post their jobs on us. So we kept our, I borrowed a page from Sam Walton, and we kept our prices low so that we could capture a lot of market share, which we not only captured, but we now dominate the military job board niche market. And we made the site very user-friendly. It's intuitive. You don't have to be a semi-programmer to be able to go in and walk your way through the site.
So it's user-friendly.
Very user-friendly.
Okay.
And the employers appreciate that because when they go in searching our resume database or even posting their jobs, time and time again you hear from them, oh, this site is so easy to use. Oh, we like, you know, which is important. And on the employer side, they want to know if it's working for them. We were one of the first sites out there that provided site statistics for our employers. So every job they posted, they know how many times it's been pulled up in a search, how many times someone has clicked on it to view the job, and how many times someone's clicked through to get the contact information. So they've got valuable metrics to determine if they're being successful. In fact, I had a competitor call me at one time ranting and railing about, why are you doing that? Blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, if they're not going to be successful, we want them to know about it. And, of course, he was upset because people using the site hadn't been successful. But, you know, when you can actually see the results of your efforts on a site, you have a tendency to renew, and that's what we're really after. You know, when we talked about focus earlier, we focus on making sure that our customers, people who give us money, our employers, have a successful experience. And that's why our renewal rate, by the way, is over 90%. But they have a successful experience, and they can see the results. They get the applicants coming in. Now, one other thing I might add in there is that our sales force is very small. It's a missionary sales force. But we followed the labor markets very, very closely. So, like, in today's environment, we're not running around trying to sign up banks and finance and mortgage companies because it's just not a whole lot of jobs. In fact, due to the subprime debacle, they are laying a lot of people off. So we follow the Bureau of Labor Statistics reports on a weekly basis to determine where are the hot jobs, where are the places where employers are having problems finding the candidates they need. And we concentrate. You know, for a while, Phoenix, Arizona, and right now, you take like Salt Lake City has a 1.9% unemployment rate. So calling on jobs in Salt Lake City would be much more successful than calling on a place like Detroit, Michigan, where the unemployment rate's getting close to 10%.
Yeah, and I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan, so that's unsettling for me. So, what do you think the top 10 markets in the United States for in terms of opportunities?
Well, there have been several articles written about that recently.
Okay. Well, maybe and, top five. I don't want to.
Well, your hottest markets right now, and I'll just go from East Coast to West Coast. I won't rank.
Okay. Good.
But the Delmarva area, that's Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. The Atlanta market is like number two in the country.
Really? Okay.
Central Florida, Huntsville, Texas, Arizona, Colorado, Southern California. And Southern California, you know, south of Frisco, is a mixed bag. Some areas, they've got some bad unemployment, but for the most part, the demand is still there, and Seattle has come back. Now, one of the things that's interesting about that, Ken, is when you look at where the hot job markets are, they are all in the right-to-work states.
Uh-huh.
The two states that are having the worst time right now are Michigan and Ohio, and that's directly correlated to the union problems. If you're an investor and you are wanting to grow a business, the last place you're going to go is where you have to fight union rules. I mean, and, you know, when you get in some areas where you can't have a if you have more than three employees, you're required by law to have a union. That creates a problem, and that's what, you know, you take a look at what happened in Indiana when they got the new automotive plant. I think it was Honda came and said, okay, we will build this plant here, but not if you are a union shop state. So they changed their law, which just scared the bejesus out of the unions. And Indiana, in the heart of the Rust Belt, is now a right-to-work state. But guess what? That plant brought 21,000 new jobs. And this past summer, for the first time in Michigan's history, you had 12 legislators submit bills to change Michigan from a union shop to a right-to-work state. If that works, that'll break the back of the unions. And maybe then the Northeast will start to grow, but it won't grow. And while you got these union issues, and the and it's verified when you go across the country looking where all the hot job markets are, and in every one of them, they are right-to-work states, not union shop states.
So I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. My grandfather was an international ref for the UAW, so why is it that unions are bad for business?
Well, they aren't necessarily bad for business. They're a hindrance to business. Some people would say they are bad. Unions were fabulous. I mean, I had a lot of family members that were union people back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. But the problem is everything that the unions fought for became a law. So you had these large bureaucratic organizations that had no real purpose. Exceptions are people like the IBEW, where they really do train and certify and make sure that people really know what they're doing. But a lot of the unions are very adversarial. I was in the steel industry. I lived in Cleveland and had plants, you know, all around the what's now the Rust Belt. And it was a very adversarial environment. And you can't grow a company in an adversarial environment. Everybody's got to be pulling together.
Okay, let's talk about the industries that where the hot jobs are.
The keep in mind right now you're in a political season, and there are some people I am convinced that really would like to see this country go into recession because they think that'll help them get elected. But
it's politically motivated. I think that also.
Oh yeah,
and
the country is not going into a recession, or as one candidate said, we're in a depression. We are not in a depression. In between recessions, you always have economic bounces. This is the first economic bounce since we came out of the recession. I call it the hiring recession, that lasts from 2001 to 2004, and recessions now span 8 to 10 years apart. So we're only halfway to the next recession. And which are generally triggered by a technological advance, but the this is what you call a bounce created by the greed of people in the mortgage and financial industry, and it's a shame. You know, take 3 years ago, all these people in jail. The FBI is investigating over 200 companies now for financial fraud. But just like with Enron, it took, you know, what, 4 years before Ken Lay was finally convicted. But the even with these problems, you got to remember the country right now unemployment rate is only 4.7%. Normal unemployment is 5%. That means we have a labor shortage nationwide still. And the when you take a look, you know, I'll talk from our experience at FedJobs. Some of the hottest job markets right now is anything that has a security clearance, almost all engineering jobs, and environmental engineering is making a great comeback right now. The especially R&D type engineering, biotechnology, manufacturing is holding its own. I wouldn't be going and looking for a job in selling real estate or mortgage underwriting right now. But you know, the fundamentals of our economy are very sound. Another really hot spot is government, because when so many people went to work for the government back in the 70s, they're now being mandatorily retired. And depending upon whose study you read, anything from 50 to 70%, some say 60% of the federal government is going to have to retire in the next 5 years. And so the and same thing applies to state and county governments. And there's a lot of fabulous jobs available there where you can get in and make a difference. The really hot areas, are, like we talked about earlier, are Southern California, Arizona, Texas, Louisiana and Alabama have come back pretty strong, Louisiana particularly because of the oil situation. Those jobs are, if you're an underwater diver or welder, it's fabulous to be there. We got a call from a place in South Dakota wanting to know if we had welders that would come up there. And I said, what, welders? When I was a kid, everybody welded, you having trouble getting welders? And he said, yeah. He said, they're all down on the coast still rebuilding after Katrina. 4 years later, you can still get jobs down there making 40, 50 bucks an hour all day long. So they're down there rather than working up in South Dakota for 20 bucks an hour.
Now, we got about 6 minutes left, but I really want to commend you for supporting military veterans and what you're doing, because I'm a military veteran. I spent time as enlisted as an officer in the Navy. Let me ask you the question, how does a military veteran make the transition from the military to civilian life successfully?
It's not as complicated as some people would have you believe. I hear some people in government say, they got to fund all these programs, and I think they're straw-dogging a lot of the time because they, we saw that when they were trying to claim that the kids 18 to 24 had a 14% unemployment rate, and turned out that people in DOL were counting the people that got out of school and went back, got out of the military and went back to school as unemployed to justify getting a larger grant from the government, from the Congress. But the first thing you got to do is determine what it is you want to do. And because if you don't know where you're going, any road you take will get you there. And
heard
it's the same in any job market. You got to determine what it is you want to do and be sure that's what you want to do. Now, in reality, you think you may get out and get a job and then realize, this isn't really what I want to do. But there are plenty of tests that DOL and others provide that help you determine that. And then
you say the DOL, are you talking about the
Department of Labor?
Labor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and
the
then,
federal
and then,
state, correct?
Yeah, federal and state.
Okay.
And
right.
and then they do a great job at that. And then you've got to determine what type of work environment do I want to work in. Don't just say, I want a job making $50,000 or $100,000. What type of people do you want to be doing? What type of things do you want to be doing during the day? What type of people do I want to be around? And what type of challenges do I want to face? Not everybody wants to be a leader or a manager. A lot of people are just happy doing one thing. I got a friend that works for the Forest Department and just loves sitting on top of towers and watching. And he could do that forever. I couldn't, but he can.
So you have to find the passion and understand where you want to work. Okay.
And then once you know that, then you can narrow it down to, these 8 companies, you do your research, these 5, 7, 8 companies are the types of thing, is where I think I want to go work, and then go approach them. It's not rocket science, but it does require a lot of work and research on your – it always amazes me. We spend 12 years getting through high school, 4 years in college, 2 years in graduate degree, and people spend 20 minutes maybe on career planning.
Wow. All the stuff that you're sharing with us can be used for military veterans and just regular civilians. So let me ask you, military veterans, I truly believe they're one of our greatest assets for corporate America and small business. Why
Absolutely.
Do you think military veterans are such a great asset?
They have one of the most important things, and that is called leadership. They have the technical skills, they have the training education, they've got phenomenal work ethic, they have security clearances, all sorts of other neat things, but they provide the leadership. There was a study done with the Fortune 500, and Over the last 3, 5, and 10-year periods, those CEOs that had a military background outperformed the market, the S&P index, by as much as 20%. And it's because what they brought was leadership. And they have the can-do attitude. A true military leader would never do what Ken Lay did with Enron.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like that. Let me ask you another. Now, you talk about successes that Bett Jobs has done. What would be maybe one or two success stories? And we've got a little bit less than a couple minutes, but a couple of success stories, or maybe one success story of military veterans making that that successful transition.
Well, we've had over 70,000.
Okay.
And you know, people getting jobs from $9 and $10 an hour to the other extreme, where we had a Army colonel been out for several years and took the job as a senior VP of operations for the major logistics firm at $900,000.
Wow.
Yeah, 400,000 base, 500,000 incentive package. But it's a there are no shortage of one of our best success stories was a Navy guy who was interviewed over the phone by Rogers Machinery. He was in Norfolk. They were in Oregon. Interviewed him twice over the phone, flew him out, and then he when he punched out of the Navy, he had that job sitting there waiting for him. He was a machinist. And, you know, he's been with them for like 8, 9 years.
Wow.
He just loved the job.
Okay. I'm curious. So what other success stories you'd like to share? Because I'm really curious. These are really great success stories. This is what it's all about.
Well, when you say that's what it's all about, that's what's fun about working here. When you come in here, everything that we do, I have no trouble motivating the employees here because they know that what they are doing impacts directly people's lives, gives them value to their life, gives them the ability to help support their families. I might also add that everybody that works at Bett Jobs is prior military, or they were spouses in military, or children in military, because we take the approach that you can't help someone if you don't know the problems they're facing. So, our VP of sales was a SEAL in Vietnam. You know, we've got a retired Navy chief, got an Air Force major. We got a bunch of people that have been there and been through the problems these people are facing and can speak their language, and that makes a big difference. That goes back to our concept of focus.
Wow, focus. And so as we wrap up, what would you like the listeners to get out of this conversation that we've had with you, Ted Daywalt, BettJobs.com?
Well, if you're an employer, we'd love to have you hiring veterans. We feel it's the right thing to do, as some people say in their commercials. These are the people that fought to give us the freedoms that we have. In fact, you wouldn't be having this radio show if it weren't for the freedoms provided by our military. So give us a call at Bett Jobs. It's 877-BETT-JOBS or at BettJobs.com. And if you're an individual looking for a job, you don't have to be in the military to apply to the jobs on our site. Go onto the site and find yourself a great job.
You know, I didn't know that. So it's not just for military veterans, it's for anybody. Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, anybody, our job board is open. One of the things that we always tell people is you never pay anybody to help you find a job. And the other is if you have to go to a site and they make you registered and has restrictions on access to the job data bank, be very careful because odds are they're selling your information. So, we have an open job bank. Anybody can go into it and apply to the jobs. But, you know, 95% of the people go into the natural air military. That's who we advertise to.
And what advice would you have for entrepreneurs, passionate entrepreneurs that are listening to this program?
Take a risk.
You said a mouthful. Ted, go ahead.
Don't be afraid to take a risk. But the But make it a calculated risk. And that's why veterans, by the way, are so...
Are you still there? Ted, you still there? Oh, man, we lost Ted. Okay. Sometimes we have technical problems. We've lost Ted. But anyway, thank you, Ted DeWalt, www.betjobs.com. That's www.betjobs.com. Well, that's the show. So what have you learned today? More importantly, how will you apply what you've learned? Specifically, what action steps will you implement to improve your business and increase your profitability? If you want a second opinion, you know how to reach me. If you have a question, have a guest idea, a topic of interest, just contact us through the podcast email. And so also, E3C, what are we all about? E3C stands for, if you don't know, entrepreneurship, empowerment, evolution. And the C stands for connect, collaborate, and create. We have over 350 profit and sales ideas, 60 business courses, and we have 95 quizzes, surveys, forms, checklists, business and sales aids. We got it. Look for it. And if you want to connect with other passionate entrepreneurs, as we did last year, about 500 business connections. This year we've done about 154, 59. Every Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time, from 8 to 9, we have a networking session. So I encourage people that want to participate and connect. We only have limited spaces available. Just give me a call on reach me through my podcast page. So if you're listening to this program on Blog Talk Radio or the company podcast page, please, please rate and comment on the show on our podcast website. And better still, rate us on Technorock, Dig It, Delicious, Stumble Upon. You know why? Because there's hundreds, if not thousands of people that are listening and downloading this podcast. So exposure for you and your business. So very important. If you like the podcast, please share with a friend or business associate who wants to improve their profitability. So that's the show. As we run out, we put the music on. My comments to you are to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, and above all, stay profitable. Ryan Hunley, New Wine Music, take us out.